Book of Ezekiel, Prophet Ezekiel, chapter 33. It's page 1036 in my Bible. Ezekiel chapter 33, page 1036 in my Bible. It's verse 11 of chapter 33. As I live, saith the Lord Jehovah, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Isaiah chapter 1, page 838, 838. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and hearken, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of Jehovah hath spoken. Just one more verse in the New Testament. The first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And to await his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. I'd like to say a few words tonight about deliverance from sin and Satan, and to bring out the preciousness of the one who is able to deliver, our Lord Jesus Christ. What does this really mean? That it means to be rescued. Rescued from evil, from immoral condition. It means salvation. And that's the presentation of the glad tidings. To present salvation to mankind. Because this world is not going on forever as it is. And God in his mercy has continued this wonderful dispensation of divine grace to give men and women, boys and girls, an opportunity of coming to know the Saviour who he has provided, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the book of Ezekiel is a book of warning, and it's a book of hope. And the glad tidings is the presentation of the warning. It's a presentation too of a wonderful hope. Outside of man's world altogether. Outside of all that mankind can give you and tell you about. Warning and hope. Book of Ezekiel here was to God's people in captivity. And they were going through a lot as being in Babylon, carried away by Nebuchadnezzar. There they were and thought that they would never see their homeland again. That it was to warn them, but it was to give them hope. And that's the the job that the preacher has tonight in a dark world, is to give you hope out with all that man can present to you. Wonderful thing to take account of it. And how is God going to do this? How is he going to bring about a situation that the disobedience of the one man had brought in and constituted each one of us sinners before a holy and a righteous God? There was a great divide brought about, and no one can pass over it. And no one, indeed, can go from one point to another. It's a great chasm fixed. How is God going to deal with the matter? Well, when we come to Isaiah chapter 1, we get a wonderful presentation of the heart of God. So we take account of it. Before we go to that, it says in Ezekiel that God does not take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. Man was created for God's pleasure. And when man was created, God said it was very good. And there, amidst all the other creation, there was something there that could respond to the heart of God, man himself. And sin came in by the disobedience of the one man. And God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked at all, because they have not responded to the heart of God. What a contrast. It says precious, precious in the sight of Jehovah is the death of his saints. What a contrast that is. Well, the heart of God comes out in relation to this. There's no pleasure with him in the death of the wicked, because there's no response there Godward. God is looking for a response from our hearts. And he goes on in the preciousness of these scriptures to bring in the thought of death and life. That is it. There's no neutral. There's no grey areas in Christianity. You're either saved or you're unsaved. That's the situation that you may find yourself in today. Not maybe, but you're either saved or you're unsaved. So God came out from his own side, and he says in the Isaiah chapter 1, come now, let us reason together. What a wonderful position from the heart of God. He's not coming out and saying you're a sinner and you should be dealt with and judged righteously. But he's saying, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They be red as crimson. These two colours, you know, are so difficult to be removed from a piece of clothing. These dyes that are spoken of here. But it says, if ye be willing and hearkening, ye shall eat of the good of the land. That if is a very important. God is presenting himself in grace and mercy to the heart of man. In this situation, it was to get Judah back to God himself. And he's presenting himself in this way so that God could reason with you. That you find yourself at a distance from God. You find yourself as a sinner because of the one man that sinned. And you need a Savior. And God is presenting himself in this way to attract you, to draw you to himself. If you be willing, think of the response that is needed from the heart of the unconverted person. If you be willing and hearkening, he shall eat of the good of the land. Think of what God has in mind for you, to bring you into blessing, to give you security, to give you hope, to give you a future. But there is the warning. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Jehovah has spoken. Oh, listen to divine speaking, because there is speaking tonight, speaking. And the final speaking, the speaking of the Son. There's no more speaking after the speaking of the Son. But they're speaking tonight in the tender voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, the preciousness of the speaking of the Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. So how is God going to bring this about? Well, he gives a touch in this book of the preciousness of the one he was going to bring in. He shall grow up as a tender sapling, a root out of a dry ground. Think of him in Isaiah 53, that precious one. I'll lay upon him the iniquity of us all. Think of the Saviour God taking his only Son, his well-beloved Son, and I will lay upon him the iniquity of us all. That's yours, that's mine. Think of the enormity of that throughout the world, the iniquity of us all. That's how God was going to deal with the sin question. The blood of bulls and goats, all the offerings of the past dispensation were incapable of taking away sin. And God, thank God, has come out in his own way and using his own man to give you and I deliverance from sin and Satan and bring before us the preciousness and the attractiveness of the Deliverer, our Lord Jesus Christ. How precious to take account of these things. And as we look in the New Testament, we find a man that was born 6 months before the Lord Jesus. John the Baptist was his name. And it says there that he'll go before. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. And he says in regard to him, it says that to give knowledge of the deliverance to his people by the remission of their sins on account of the bowels of mercy of our God. What a God. Take account of one that was going to come in. John the Baptist would give us knowledge of that deliverance. And he did that in his testimony here before he was cut off as a young person. He says in John's Gospel that one comes after me that was preferred before me. I think of that. He was preferred before me, and he was before me. The thong of whose sandals I am unwilling, unable to undo. Think of the greatness of the appreciation of John the Baptist as he took account of him. You know, it says that as Jesus was looking towards him, John looked upon him and he says, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What an appreciation of his, of him he had as he took account of him in his testimony here. Then the next day he sees him walking, looks at Jesus walking, and he says, Behold the Lamb of God. There he was, the Lamb of God. There was God himself, manifest in flesh. Oh, wonder of the universe. There, in that testimony, John gave knowledge of deliverance because he took account of him as the one who was going to deliver on your behalf and on my behalf. How was it to be? Well, the Lord Jesus went through this scene from the age of 30, and taking up his public ministry, healing the sick, and giving sight to the blind, and so on. He met mankind in every way, even raising the dead. And he met the need of everyone that he came across. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, we see him sitting at a well, at Sychar's well, wearied by the way he had come. You think of the enormity of that. There was the creator of the universe. There was the sustainer of life. And he sat by that well because there was one individual that he had in mind for blessing. And there may be one individual here tonight that the Lord Jesus has in mind for blessing. That your heart may be touched and drawn to him. And there he was. He asked for a drink. That woman came. Woman of the city. Woman of no reputation. To draw water at an hour when no one would come. And she was surprised when she saw this man, who she recognized as a person that was different from her. Give me to drink, he says. Give me to drink. You know, I want to bring before you tonight the deliverer who has resources. One who has resources. On one occasion, he took account of a man who was stricken down by robbers on the Jericho road. And he brought out the oil and the wine and he put him on his own beast and brought him to the inn. Oh, you know, what resources Jesus has to meet your need and to meet my need, not only for time, but for the whole of eternity. And that woman, when she realized what he could provide, she asked for this living water. And that living water is available to you tonight. If you're a thirsty soul, the Lord Jesus can meet your need. And he digs a little bit deeper with her, you know. The Lord Jesus knows all about you. He knows all about me. And how testing that is. And the Lord says to her, go call thy husband. And she says, I have not a husband. And he says, you have had five husbands. The husband that you now have is not your husband. Lord knows all about him. And her appreciation of the Lord Jesus increases. She began by saying, sir. And then it says, a prophet. And then it is the Christ. The Christ. The one who is carrying everything through for God. The anointed man who is carrying everything through for God. She becomes an evangelist. Come see a man who has told me all things I ever did. Is not he the Christ? What a person to know. What a person to trust and put your faith in. The opportunity for you tonight is that. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Can't promise you tomorrow. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, how was this salvation going to be accomplished? The Lord Jesus met many persons. But he came here into this world to save sinners. As the Apostle Paul says, of whom I am the first. The greatest sinner has been saved, you know. So there's room for everybody else. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. Where your debt and my debt could be paid. He took my position. There he was. A mock trial in Pilate's hall. There he was with false witnesses that were brought in to deal with the situation. And the outcome was that Pilate could say, I find no fault in this man. No, there wasn't any fault. He was a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. As John the Baptist said, he was the taker away of the sin of the world. How was God going to initiate this? A mock trial. And the cry was, even in his innocence, even in the way he spoke and what he didn't say, away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us. I trust there's no heart here who can say, I will not have this man to reign over us. He went on, led out as a lamb to the slaughter. Think of the creator of the universe here. Being led out to Calvary's Hill. And there, nailed to a wooden Roman gibbet. And raised up between heaven and earth. Says, if I be lifted up, will draw all unto me. Oh, may many here be drawn to the Lord Jesus. If you know him as your Saviour, be drawn afresh to him in all his preciousness. As the one who could sustain us and guide us. Preserve us from this world system. And all that's about at the present time that's under judgment. But he went there. And there on that cross between two malefactors. One took advantage of the situation. And I trust that many in this world tonight will take advantage of the situation. We indeed receive the just reward that was given to them, the one malefactor said. But this man has done nothing amiss. The Lord Jesus has done nothing amiss. He's done everything for the blessed God in securing a way of salvation that you and I as coming and accepting what we are as sinners before God, accepting our sinnership, accepting him as our Saviour. That's the simplicity of the gospel. To come to Christ, own what you are, and be saved as trusting in him for time and for all eternity. He died that you and I might live. He died No one took his life from him. He laid it down of himself in view of taking it again. Death could not hold him. Death had to bow. Stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let us take account of an empty tomb. An empty tomb. Come see the place where the Lord lay. What a wonderful triumph of divine love. A Roman seal put on the stone. There, they thought that was the end of it. When shall he die and his name perish? But there, the stone was rolled away. Let you and I have a look at an empty tomb and take account of an ascended, glorified man at the right hand of God. An empty tomb and a filled throne. That's what's being taken account of tonight. A work of redemption, work of salvation, work of deliverance, completed in relation to God's righteousness and holiness. It's been done. The Lord Jesus says, it is finished. What was finished? A great work of redemption. That as coming to us, to Christ, and owning him as your Saviour and Lord, you have peace with God. Wonderful thing. It says in Colossians, you know, that you've been delivered from the power of darkness, brought into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's a Father's work, you know. But in Thessalonians, where we read just to finish, preciousness of these things, to await his Son from the heavens. Yes, Jesus has been here. He's completed the work that the Father gave him. He's gone on high, but he's coming again for those who love him, for those who put their faith and trust in him, and to await his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from among the dead, Jesus our deliverer from the coming wrath. Oh, how solemn. There's one here who's outside of Christ. There's the coming wrath. If you die in your sins, you'll be judged in your sins. How solemn to take account of it. Well, there's some wonderful message being proclaimed today, that if you put your faith in Christ, you'll be saved for all eternity. May we do so. Take account of the Deliverer who has been into death for you and for me, and is available tonight without price and without money. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake.